Okay, good morning. Today's daf is Maseches Yuma, daf Lamed Ches. It's again Elisha Graf sitting for Rabbi Leibowitz, who's away all week. He'll be back on Shabbos, saying this year live, and back online next Sunday, God willing. So we got to the top of Lamed Ches Amid Aleph. Today's daf is going to begin with a discussion of the Nisim that occurred for the doors that Nicanor brought to the Beis HaMikdash. Nicanor was the last of the folks mentioned in the prior Mishnah who were remembered l'shevach for various things that they did on behalf of the Beis HaMikdash. So we're going to talk a little bit about Nicanor and what exactly happened with his doors. The following Mishnah is going to talk about certain people who were remembered not l'shevach but l'gnai. They were remembered poorly, and the general theme is that these people had certain talents that enabled them to perform certain avodos in the Beis HaMikdash in an exemplary way, and they were unwilling to share those talents with anybody else. They were unwilling to share those secrets with anybody else, and the Mishnah, the Gemara, therefore criticizes them for that. We'll see in the Gemara that some of these people may have been Chozrim B'tshuva, as it were, so it's a bit unclear initially as to who exactly is remembered lignai, whether it's everybody mentioned in the Mishnah or only the last person mentioned in the Mishnah. That discussion is going to lead into a discussion of Zecher Tzadik Levracha versus V'shem Rishayim Yirkov, is then going to lead into a discussion of the relationship between Tzadikim and Rishayim, and the daf is going to conclude with a bunch of drashos around that. So let's get started again. We're at the top of Lamed Ches Amid Aleph. Second word on the line. Nicanor nasa nisim l'dal sosav. So Nicanor had these nisim that occurred for his doors. The Tanur Rabbanan says the Gemara, ma nisim nasa l'dal sosav. What nisim occurred with respect to the doors that Nicanor brought to the Beis HaMikdash? So Amru, kishahalach Nicanor l'havid l'sos me'alexandria shal Mitzrayim. When Nicanor went to bring doors for the Beis HaMikdash from Alexandria in Egypt, Bechazirasso, Amadal of Nachshol Shabiyam Litavo. On his return, he was traveling on a boat, and there was a very, very big wave that had rose in the sea and was about to sink the boat. So the Mefarshim here struggle with what exactly did Nicanor do to cause this great wave to come and try to sink him and his boat. So initially, some of Farshim explained that perhaps the problem was that Nicanor went down to Mitzrayim and that there's an Isser to settle in Mitzrayim, but they wound up concluding that that can't be the Avera, quote-unquote, that Nicanor did, because the Isser is to settle in Mitzrayim, not to go to Mitzrayim for some business purpose. Nicanor, in fact, went to Mitzrayim for the purpose of procuring these copper doors for the Beis HaMikdash. So it couldn't be that he violated any Isser in particular by going to Mitzrayim. And so the Ben Yoyada winds up explaining that the wave rose not to punish Nicanor, but rather just to give him the opportunity to be Moser Nefesh in order to bring the door to the Beis HaMikdash. In other words, it was a Siba for him to exhibit his great dedication to the Beis HaMikdash as opposed to a wave that rose to destroy the ship as a result of something bad that Nicanor had done. But in any event, whatever the cause, there was this great wave that was threatening to sink the ship. Not lu achas mehem. So the people on the boat thought that these huge doors that Nicanor is carrying is going to weigh the boat down. So they took off one of the doors. They took out one of the doors. Vetilua liyam, and they threw the door into the sea. Vadayin lo nachal yam mezafo. But the water was still very agitated. It did not settle down. Bikshu lahatil es chaverta. They then wanted to throw the other door into the sea. Amadhu v'karcha, and Nicanor stood up and basically blocked the door. He basically was lying on top of the door, on top of the second door. Amar lam etiluni ima, that you're not. He said to them, "You are not throwing me into the sea. You are not throwing the door into the sea unless you throw me into the sea along with the door." In other words, he stood up and he protected the second door from being thrown into the sea. Miyad nachayam mizafo, and immediately the sea settled down. Everything calmed down. The waves all went away. However, Nicanor was mitzar. Nicanor was very distraught on the first door that he was unable to save. In other words, he saw what had happened when they threatened to throw the second door into the sea, how they basically backed off when he stood up in defense of the door. And he thought to himself, my goodness, had I done this when they threatened to throw the first door into the sea, I could have saved both. In the meantime, now because I did not stand up until it was time to throw the second door into the sea, I've already lost the first door. So he was very distraught. Kivan Shegiel and Amala Shel Akko. However, once they arrived at the port of Akko, Haisa Mevatzvetses Vyotses Mitachas Dofne Asvina. The first door that they had thrown overboard was poking out from the front of the Sfina. In other words, miraculously, the first door that had been thrown overboard floated along with the boat all the way to Eretz Yisrael. So that was the Nates. V'yesh Omrim, Bris Shebiyam Balasa, or Bria Shebiyam, I'm sorry, Balasa, swallowed it. V'kisua L'yabasha, and then spat it up on the dry land when they reached the port. So whether it's that the door miraculously stuck to the bottom of the boat, or a huge animal in the sea, a huge fish in the sea, swallowed it and then spat it up on dry land, it was a great nais that the door that had been thrown overboard wound up making its way to Eretz Yisrael. V'aleo Amar Shlomo, it's on that door that Shlomo said, Koros Beitenu Arazim, the walls of our house are Arazim, our cedar, Rehitni Berusim. Our doors are made out of cypress. Altikri Berusim Ela Brias Yam. Don't call them Berusim Ela Brias Yam. In other words, the doors of our house came here on account of a Brias Yam. This is according to the second opinion in the Gemara, obviously, that a Brias Yam swallowed the door and then spat it up on dry land. So Shlomo HaMelech was saying a Shira about these doors, that the door came to Eretz Yisrael because of a Brias Yam. Alternatively, Rashi says, it's not Brias Yam, but it's rather Bris Yam. This is according to the first Mandi Amar in the Gemara, that it's because of a Bris, a covenant, as it were, that the Yam made, that it would not let this door sink, that we now have both of these doors in the Beis HaMikdash. Lefichach, and therefore, because of this great nais that happened with the door that Nicanor brought, Kol HaSharim Shayi B'Mikdash Nishtanu Liyah Shel Zav, all of the doors in the Mikdash were eventually changed to golden doors, Chutz Mishari Nicanor, except for the gates of Nicanor, Mimnesha Nasu Bo Nisim, because there were great nisim that occurred with respect to these doors. V'yesham Rim Mimnesha Nechusha Mutzevos. It's not only that there was a great nais that occurred with the door, it's rather that their nechoshes shone, their copper shone like gold. In other words, the reason that you would change something from copper to gold, or from another material to gold, is because gold is so luminous and shines so beautifully, but the copper that Nicanor's doors were made out of had the same properties of luminescence as gold. So Haisa Rebelezer ben Yaakov Omer, Rebelezer ben Yaakov would say, Nechoshes Kulunisua Haisa, it was refined copper, Vaisa Me'ira Keshel Zav, and likewise he's of the view that it used to shine as brilliantly as gold, and therefore there was no reason to change the gates of Nicanor from copper to gold. So that concludes the discussion that we began in the prior Mishnah of the four people who were mentioned, Leshevach, who were mentioned on account of these, the five people actually in the Mishnah, who were mentioned on account of the wonderful things that they did for the Beis HaMikdash. But this Mishnah continues, Ve'elu L'gnai, and these are the people who were mentioned lignai. They were mentioned in a bad light. So the Miri explains out of the box, why were they mentioned in the bad light? We'll see that all of these people had special talents. And the Miri says that if you have a special talent that can enhance others' ability to perform their avodas Hashem, then it's inappropriate to keep that talent secret and to refrain for yourself from teaching that talent to others, even if you might think that you have a rationale. Because we'll see in the Gemara that these people thought that they had a valid reason for keeping their talent secret. But says the Miri, if you have a talent that can enhance not only your Avodas Hashem, but everybody else's Avodas Hashem, you're mechuyev, as it were, to share your talent with them so as to enhance everybody's Avodas Hashem collectively. So ve'elu lignai, these people were remembered lignai. Shel beis garmu l'ratzel l'lamin al ma'is alechem aponim. The beis garmu did not want to teach anybody else how to perform the ma'is of the lechem aponim. Shel beis haftinas l'ratzel l'lamin al ma'is haktores. Beis haftinas did not want to teach anybody else the ma'is haktores. We'll see in the Gemara what tricks Ben Garmu and Beis Aftinas, Beis Garmu and Beis Aftinas had with the Lechem Aponim and the Torahs, respectively. Hugras ben Levi, Haye Yadea Perek Bashir. Hugras ben Levi knew a certain musical method, V'la Ratzel L'lamed, and he did not want to teach anybody else's musical method. And Ben Kamsar, La Ratzel L'lamed, Al Maisei Aksav. Ben Kamsar did not want to teach people the Maisei Aksav, And the Ma'aseh Aksav, if you look in Rashi, Rashi says that this is toward the end of the right-hand column of Rashi here on this Amud. Kosher Dalad Kulmusin Bedalad Esposav. He would tie four pens on four of his fingers. Vekosev Shem Ben Arba Osios Ke'echad. So Rashi explains that when he would write the Shem Hashem, the Shem of the Yud Kei Vav Kei, instead of writing Yud then Kei then Vav then Kei, he would actually write. He would tie four pens onto his fingers that he would be able to somehow to write the entire Shem Hashem all at once. So he had this amazing trick, and he didn't want to teach people. He didn't want to teach people how to do this. So Al Rishonim Ne'amar on the first people, in other words, the people. Pashup Shad is the people mentioned in the prior Mishnah, who did great things. We'll see later on in the Gemara, there may be another way of explaining this. So the Rishonim Ne'amar Zecher Tzadik Levracha, that we recall them fondly, and we say, when we mention their name, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, Val Elu Ne'amar V'Shem Rasham Yerkov. And on these guys who didn't want to teach other people their great talents that they had in service in the Beis HaMikdash, we say, V'Shem Rasham Yerkov, may the name of Rasham rot. So we associate them unfavorably, as opposed to recalling them in a favorable light. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, Beis Garmu, Haya Bekiyim B'Masa Lechem Apanim, Beis Garmu were Bekiyim in the Masa Lechem Apanim, V'la Rotsu L'lame, they didn't want to teach anybody else how to do the Masa Lechem Apanim. So Shochu Chachamim, so the Chachamim sent, Ve'viyu Umnim Alexandria Shal Mitzrayim, and they brought up craftspeople from Alexandria Shal Mitzrayim, who were going to try to replicate the Ma'isa Lechem upon him that Ben-Garmu knew and didn't want to share with anybody else. V'yodin lefos kamosan, v'yodin lirdos kamosan. They knew how to bake the Lechem upon him like Beis Garmu, the craftspeople from Alexandria Shal Mitzrayim did, but they didn't know how to remove the Lechem upon him like the people from the house of Beis Garmu did. So the Lechem upon him was a strange shape. It was shaped basically like the hull of a ship, or it was shaped like a box, but two sides of the box were left open. So it wasn't shaped like a loaf like we know it. It was shaped sort of like this. And it was very, very complicated in terms of putting it in the oven and then taking it out of the oven and ensuring that it could be put in and taken out when it was hot, all in one shape. And Garmu knew how to do it. The people in Alexandria Shal Mitzrayim didn't know how to do it. Why? Says the Gemara, Shehalalu, because these craftspeople from Alexandria Shal Mitzrayim, Masikin Mibachutz Veofin Mibachutz, they would basically bake the bread on the outside of the oven, because given the intricate shape of the loaf, they didn't know how to put the loaf inside of the oven and remove it without the loaf falling apart. They were only able to do it when the loaf was outside the oven. Rashi explains that the outside of the oven does not get as hot as the inside of the oven. And so if they had to work very, very delicately with the loaf in the oven, they were unable to do so inside the heat of the oven. They were only able to do so outside. V'halalu, however, Beis Garmu, Masikin Mibifnim, V'ofim Mibifnim. They were able to bake the Lechem Apanim actually inside the oven. Therefore, says the Gemara, Halalu Pitan Misafeshes, that the pas of the umnin from Alexandria would spoil because the dough wasn't cooked fully through. They used to cook it on the outside of the oven, which didn't get as hot as the inside. Therefore, the dough wasn't cooked fully through. V'halalu ein pitan misafeshes. However, the bread baked by the house of Ben Garmu, of Beis Garmu, would not spoil, because the inside of the oven was hotter. The Tosfos Yeshanim explains that even though we learned earlier, we were talking about the 10 miracles that happened on a daily basis in the Beis HaMikdash, and one of the miracles was that the Lechem Apanim would stay warm from week to week. So the Tosfos Yeshanim asks, if one of the Nisim in the Beis HaMikdash was already that the Lechem Apanim would stay warm from week to week, so why would any of this stuff spoil, and why was it required that they would know the special way of making the Lechem Apanim if in any event there was an ace that happened with the Lechem Apanim? So he gives two answers. The first answer is that even though there was a nes, still ain somchin ala nes, and we have to do whatever we can do within our power to make sure that we don't have to rely on the miracle of the lechem upon him staying warm from week to week, and therefore if there's a certain process in baking that we can use to make sure that the bread doesn't spoil, we have to do everything within our power to make sure that the bread doesn't spoil. Second answer given by the Tosfos Yeshanim is that these great miracles We'll see a little bit more about this in tomorrow's daf, but these great miracles happened only during Bayis Rishon. During Bayis Sheni, these great miracles didn't take place. So you're right, in a Hanami, during Bayis Rishon, it wouldn't have been such a big deal where they baked on the inside of the oven versus the outside of the oven, because in any event, there was a nais that the Lechem Apanim used to stay warm from week to week. But in Bayis Sheni, when we were relying less on miracles and more on our own craftsmanship, on our own ability to bake the bread in a manner such that the bread would not spoil when it was being baked, then it became very important to know how to bake the bread, like the house of Beis Garmu, so that it wouldn't spoil at all. So says the Gemara, Kishashamu Chachamim Bedavar, when the Chachamim heard about this, Amru, they said, what are we going to do? We brought these guys up from Mitzrayim. They're not as good as the house of Beis Garmu. Kol Masha Barak HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lichvodo Baru. Everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, he created for his honor. Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk, Kol HaNikra B'Shmi Ulichvodi Barasiv. Everything that I called by name by my name and for my honor it was created. V'chazra Beis Garmu L'mkaman, and therefore they reinstated Beis Garmu in their prior position. Sholchu lem chachamim, so now the chachamim needed to get, they said, okay, we're going to reappoint Beis Garmu, but now we need to induce them to come back. So they have to give him a raise. Sholchu lem chachamim v'labo, the chachamim sent for the people from the house of Beis Garmu, but they refused to come. Kaflu lem scharan uvo, they offered to double their salary, and then they came. So b'chol yom hayanot lin shnei masar mane, every day previously they would make 12 mane, v'hayom esrim v'arba mane. And from that day on, they would make 24 money. Rav Yehuda says, no, it was even more than that. B'chol yom esrim v'arba, on that prior to that time, they would make 24 money. V'ayom arbaom ushmone. And from that day on, they would make 48 money. So there are some Rishonim who learned that this is a guzma. This is only an exaggeration, because if you calculate the amount of money into actual currency, 24 or 48 money was an exorbitant sum of money, especially to make per day. So they say either it was an exaggeration, or maybe that's not the amount of money that they made per day, rather that was the amount of money that they made per year. But either way, in order to induce Beis Garmu to come back, they had to offer them a substantial raise. So once Beis Garmu came back, Omulem Chachamim, the Chachamim said to them, Marisem Shalolamed, what did you see? What was your basis for refusing to teach anybody else the Maisa Lechem upon him? So Amrlem, so they said to the Chachamim, Yodim Hayu, we know, Yodim Hayu Shal Beis Abba, Shebayezeh Asili Charev, that our father's house knew, basically our forefathers knew, that this Beis HaMikdash was ultimately going to be destroyed. And we were afraid that maybe somebody who is inappropriate, who is not worthy, would learn the tricks of the trade with respect to the Maaseh Lechem upon him, and they would try to serve their Avodas Kochavim, they would try to serve their Avodah Zarah using this method. And it's apparent, however, that the Chachamim didn't buy their excuse. They gave this as an excuse, that they didn't want the secret to get into the wrong hands so that nobody could serve Avodas Kochavim with this method. The Chachamim didn't buy it, because the Gemara says, Val Davar Zemas Kirin Oso Lishvach. However, on the following, the Chachamim were Zokar them Lishvach, May Olam Lo Nimtzas Pas Nekiya Biyad Bnei'em, that they would never allow their children to walk around with bread made out of fine flour. Why? Shelo Yomru Mimaisa Lechem Aponim Heim Nizonim, so that nobody should accuse them of supporting their family with the bread of Lechem Aponim. Lekayim Mashanemar, to be Mekayim, that which it says in the Pasuk, V'yisem Nekiyim Me'ashem Mi'Yisrael, that you have to be Naki, you have to be beyond and above reproach, from Hashem and from Yisrael. In other words, you have to conduct yourself in a manner so that people don't suspect you of doing something wrong, even if you know yourself that you're not really doing anything wrong. Okay, so that concludes the discussion of Beis Garmu. The Gemara now moves on to a discussion of Beis Aftinas and what their secret was. So says the Gemara, Vayter Shal Beis Aftinas. It's two dots, a little bit more than halfway down the Amud. Shal Beis Aftinas La Ratzu Lulamed Amai Sektores. Beis Aftinas did not want to teach anybody else the Amai Sektores. Tanu Rabbanan, Beis Aftinas Hayu Bekiyim B'Amai Sektores. Beis Aftinas were Bekiyim on the Amai Sektores. V'la Ratzu Lulamed, and they didn't want to teach anybody the Amai Sektores. Sholcho Chachamim V'Yaviu Umnim Alexandri Shal Mitzrayim. So once again, the Chachamim, not deterred by what happened with the Amai Selechem upon him, they again summoned these workmen, these craftspeople from Alexandria Shal Mitzrayim. V'yu Yodim Lefatim Kamosam V'lo Yoyu Yodim Lalos Ashan Kamosam. And those umnim from Alexandria Shal Mitzrayim, they knew how to compound the ktores like the Beis Aftinas, but they didn't know how to cause the Ktores to make a pillar of smoke like the Beis Aftinas. So Rashi says that they didn't know. Shalom, this is on the left side of the Yama now on Rashi. Shalom, hayu makirim be'esev shehu male esa oshan zokef u'metamer kamakal. That they were unaware of the identity of this particular herb, of this particular grass that was called mala oshan, which would cause the compound when it was making smoke to cause the smoke to rise straight up like a pillar. In other words, their smoke would disperse, whereas the smoke of the house of Beis Aftinas would rise straight up like a pillar. And it's much finer, it's much nicer to cause the smoke to rise up straight as opposed to dispersing and scattering all around. So the Tosfos Yeshanim explains that when you read Rashi, you have to read it very carefully. Rashi says they were unaware of which of the asavim would cause the smoke to rise up straight. But you shouldn't think that these umnin from Alexandria Shel Mitzrayim made the Ktores without the asav called Mala Oshan altogether. Because what do we say? We say every day in Karbanas that Mechisar Achas Michol Samamana Chayav Misa. If you leave out any of the ingredients, then you're Chayav Misa. So you have to understand, says Tosfos Yeshanim, that they had a certain ingredient that would cause everything to smoke. But what they didn't have was they didn't have the ingredient that caused everything. They didn't know how to channel that smoke and cause everything to rise up straight like a pillar. So basically, as we saw with Alechem Apanim, these guys knew how to do most of the job, but didn't know how to do all of the job. So Shelalalu, says the Gemara, back in the Gemara, Shelalalu, the Ktoris of the Beis Aftinas, Betamer Va'ola Kamakol, the smoke would go up straight like a stick, and Shelalalu, Mefatzen Lakan Alakan, and the smoke of the Ktoris made by the Umnim from Alexandria Shel Mitzrayim would waft this way and that way. It would basically be dispersed. U'kishashemu Chachamim B'davar, when the Chachamim heard about this, Amru, they said, Kol ma shebara HaKadosh Baruch Hu lichvodo baru, everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, he created for his honor, shenemar, as it says, Kol po'al Hashem l'maneyu, everything that Hashem created is for his own, is for him. It's basically for his name. So v'chazru Beis Aftinas livkoman, and they reinstated Beis Aftinas in their place. So the Marsha just explains, it's interesting. Last time when we were saying that Kol Masha Kadosh Baruch Hu bara lichvodo bara, the pasuk says shenemar kol anikra b'shmi ulichvodi barasiv. Over here now the Gemara cites a different pasuk of Kol Po'al Hashem l'maneyu. So the Marsha asks, why does the Gemara now quote a different pasuk? So he explains, because what happened by the Ma'aseh Lechem Apanim, the people from Alexandria Shel Mitzrayim, they knew how to bake the bread, but the bread would spoil. So he says, spoil bread is mamash a bezoyin, it's a pekam on the covet of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to have spoiled bread in the Beis HaMikdash. So that's why, with respect to the bread, they cited the pasuk of Kol Ma Shabara HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lichvodo Bara, because it was actually a pekam on the covet of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. However, over here, it wasn't such a bezoyin that the Ktoras would spread smoke, but it wouldn't spread it straight up. It would instead spread it dispersed from side to side, and since it wasn't such an affront to the Kavod HaKadosh Baruch Hu as fundamentally as with the Ma'aseh Lechem Apanim, the Gemara quotes a more moderate pasuk of Kol Po'al Hashem L'maneyu. In other words, whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, he created to be put to use for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it doesn't quote a pasuk of Kol Masha Bara HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'chvod HaBara, because it wasn't such a bezayin to the Kavod HaKadosh Baruch Hu itself, with the fact that the Torahs didn't send smoke rising straight up. So, in any event, says the Gemara, we have a similar pattern here to what happened with Beis Garmu. Shalchu lem chachamim v'labo, the chachamim sent for them, but they refused to come back. Kaflu lem scharam ubo, but then they offered to double their salary, and then they came back. B'chol yom ha'yenotlin shnei masar maneh, every day previously they would take 12 maneh, v'ayom esrim v'arba, from that day on they took 24. Rav Yudomer, b'chol yom esrim v'arba, v'ayom arbaam b'shmona, that previously they would take 24, from now on they took 48. So amar lem chachamim, the chachamim said, ma reizim shalol alamed, and now they said to the Beis Aftinas, so why did you refuse to teach anybody else the secret of the Ktores? So amru, they said, yodin ha'yu shal Beis Abba, shabayis ha'achzid li'charev, because our ancestors knew, our forefathers knew, that this Beis HaMikdash would ultimately be destroyed. Amru, shema yomad adam sheinu mugan v'yelech v'yavod avod z'kochavim b'kach. And we were afraid that maybe somebody who is improper would learn this secret and then use it to serve avodas kochavim. And we didn't want that to happen. Now, again, the Chachamim didn't appear initially to believe them, but on the following they recall them l'shevach and not l'gnai. That may olam l'yotza kala mevusemes mibateim, that they would never allow any newly married women to go out of their house perfumed. And when they would marry a woman from another place, masnima, they would basically make a t'nai with her as a condition to getting married and marrying into their family, shelo tizbasem, that they should not perfume themselves. Why? Shelo yomru mimaisek toris misbasem, so that people should not say that they were being misbasem from the maisek toris, that they were smelling fragrantly from the maisek toris. L'kayim mashenemar, to be mekayim that which it says, v'yisem nekiyam e'ashem mi Yisrael. Satanya, Amr Rabbi Shmuel, Pamachas Hayisi Mahalich Baderech. One day I was walking on the way, Umatsasi Echem Mene Bneim, and I saw one of their grandchildren, Amarti Lo, and I said to him, Avosecha Bikshu Laharbos Kvodan, Verotsu Lamait Kvodamakam. Your forefathers from Beis Avtinas, who were keeping this secret of this method of making the Ktorah secret, they wanted to increase their kavod so that they would be necessary in performing the service in the Beis HaMikdash, but in doing so, Ratzu Lamayit Kavod HaMakom. They wanted to be Mamayit Kavod HaMakom because they refused to teach anybody else how to do it, and so we had to experiment with these craftsmen from Alexandria Shal Mitzrayim who knew how to make the Torahs but didn't know how to make it as nicely as your forefathers. Akshav Kavod HaMakom Imkomo Umiyit Kvodam. However, now, even after the Churban, the Kavod HaMakom is in its place. Even though we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, still don't think for a second that the Kavod HaMakom is any less profound than it was when the Beis HaMikdash was standing, because we say in the Pasuk Maloch al Aretz Kavodo, the entire world is filled with the Kavod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. However, the Kavod of your forefathers, it's all gone. There is no... your forefathers' talent cannot be put to any use absent the Beis HaMikdash, unlike the Kavod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which survives and thrives even absent the Beis HaMikdash. So Amar Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva tells a similar story. Pamachas Sachli Rabbi Shmuel ben Luga. Pamachas, that Rabbi Shmuel ben Luga told him, Pamachas Yatsasi Ani Ve'echad Mimnei Bnei'em, that one time I and one of their grandchildren went out L'sadeh, L'laket HaSafim, to gather grass for Isi, and I saw Shabacha V'sachak, that he was crying and laughing. Amarti lo, I said to Mimnei Babachis, why are you crying? Amarli, Kvod Avosai Niskarti. He said, because I recall the honor of my forefathers. And why were you laughing? Why were you laughing? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to restore honor to our family. And what caused you to remember all this now? That I see the herb Mala Ashan, which is one of the key components of the Ktores, and that's what causes me to recall the honor and then the demotion from power of my father, of my father's family. So Hero Li, show it to me. Samar Li said, I can't shvua ubiyadenu, it's a shvua in our hand, shein ma'arin osa l'chol adam, that we wouldn't show it to anybody. So Amar Rav Yochanan ben Nuri, pamachas matzasi zachen echad, one time I found a zachen echad, umegilas samamanim biyado, and he had a book of herbs in his hand. Amarti lo me'ayinata. I said to him, from where are you from? Ata me'ayinata. Amarli mi beis avtinas. I'm from beis avtinas. Ani umabiyatcha. What's that that you're carrying? Amarli megillah samamanim. It's a megillah samamanim. Haro li, show it to me. Amarli kol zman shebeis aba yekaymin laya mosrino salachal adam. For the time that the house of my forefathers, that, you know, when my forefathers were alive, they wouldn't show this to anybody. Va'akshav areyu l'cha, now I'm going to give it to you. V'yizarba, however, be careful, guard it. You better guard it. In other words, don't let the secret get out. U'cheshabasi v'sachti divvare lefnei Rabbi Akiva, and when I came and I told over the story to Rabbi Akiva, Amar li me'ata asur l'safir b'gnusin shalelu. From now on, it's asur to speak ill of these people. Mikan amar ben Azai. From here, Ben Azai says, "Beshimcha yekarucha, uvimkomcha yoshivucha, umeshalcha yitnulucha." In other words, basically, that if you have a position that you're entitled to, then people could try to depose you from that position, but ultimately you're going to get your position back. In other words, because that's what happened both with Beis Garmo and Beis Avtinas, that people tried to depose them from their position for one reason or another, but in the end, They were gonna be restored to their position, because ultimately they were the only people who knew the Maisa Lechem upon them for Beis Garmu and the Maisa Ktoras for Beis Avtinas as well as they did. So the Mefarshim struggle here with, okay, so if ultimately Rabbi Akiva knew that Rabbi Akiva knew that they were really sincere, that Beis Garmu, Beis Aftinas is about the story is about, but also likely Beis Garmu, who had the same excuse, were sincere in keeping the Maisa Ketores secret so that it shouldn't get out and fall into the hands of people who would use it in the service of Avodos Kachavim. So why did the Mishnah initially count them as Elu Maskirin Lignai? If Rabbi Akiva, who was a Tana and around at that time, already knew that they were really good guys and that they were sincere, so why were they mentioned in the Mishnah? So it's a good kasha. So in any event, says the Gemara, the top of Lama Chesem of Beis, so ein lecha ein adam nogea b'mochan lechavero vein malchus nogas b'chavrata afilu kamalei nima, that a person b'mochan lechavero, a person cannot encroach on what's set for his friend, on what's prepared for his friend, nor can one malchus overlap with another even a hair's breadth. In other words, when it's your time, you'll go, but until it's your time, you're going to serve in power. And if you're deigned to serve in power, then you're ultimately going to reclaim your power, even if others try to depose you, and even if others try to put you down from your position. Says the Gemara Vayter, three lines down on Lama Chesam et al. Amabez, Hugras ben Levi used to know this great method for singing. So Tanya, k'shu nosin kol ben ima, when he would raise his voice sweetly. So machnes godel l'toch piv, he would stick his thumb into his mouth, umaniach etzbo bein animin, and he would put his forefinger between the hairs of his mustache, achayu echavakonim nizrakim bebas rosh lachareim, until the other kohanim who heard him would literally volt backwards on account of the beautiful sound that emanated from the mouth of Hugras ben Levi. And the Tosefta explains that Hugras ben Levi also did not want to teach people this wonderful method of singing because he was afraid that it would fall into the wrong hands and that people would use this method while serving Avodas Kochavim. So Tana Rabbanan, so says the Gemara Vayter now about the last person mentioned in their Mishnah, Ben Kamtzer lo rotza lelamed al-Masa Ksav. Ben Kamtzer did not want to teach people in the Masa Ksav. So Amar Alav, Sheyinot Adal Kumusam Bein Esposav, he would take four pens tied to four of his fingers, V'maisateva Shadal Rosios Yekosva B'vas Achas. If there was the Shem Hashem of Dalet Osios of Yudke Vavke, he would write it all at once. So Amar Lo, Ma Ra'is Shalol Lamed, why is it that you did not want to teach this method? So Kula Matzah Tshuva L'Dvarayim, Ben Kamtzer L'Matzah Tshuva L'Dvarav. Everybody found an answer for their reasons, except for Ben Kamtzer, who did not find his answer for his reasons. So Rashi says, first of all, so what was the benefit? What was the benefit of writing like this? Again, the benefit of writing like this is that he would write all of the letters in the Shem Hashem at once, which would minimize the risk of the sofer talking while writing the Shem Hashem, and it's usher to be mafsik in the middle of writing the Shem Hashem. The Tosfos Yontif explains that the benefit is that the Shem Hashem would be complete from beginning until end, right? That the Shem Hashem would not be lacking any letters at all at any time during the writing procedure. And the Meretz Chayis explains that what Ben Kamtzer used to do is that instead of taking actual pens, he would take little pieces of lead and dab them with ink, and then he would apply them to paper at once, and then the imprint of the name of Hashem, or the ink in the imprint of the osios of the Shem Hashem, would be left on the paper. So according to the way the Meretz Chayis understands it, it's actually a form of a printing press, and that the taina against Ben Kamtzer was that had he taught others how to use this printing press, then people could have printed many more copies of Nevi'im and Ksuvim and the Torah Nevi'im and Ksuvim, and he could have basically spread Lima Torah throughout Klal Yisrael. And because he kept the secret, he was personally responsible for not spreading Torah around Klal Yisrael. He would have had a tremendous impact on Jewish education, says the Meretz Chayis. And it says Yerushalmi explains just the reason that the Gemara says that everybody had an excuse except for Ben Kamtzer was because all of this other stuff, either the Ketores or the Lechem Apanim for whatever reason, or the beautiful method of singing, could have been used in service of Avodas Kochavim, not only in service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. However, that which Ben Kamtzer did with writing the Shem Hashem had no analog in the service of Avodas Kochavim, because Avodas Kochavim would have, the Avodas Kochavim would have no reason to write down the Shem Hashem, and they're not so makbid on the kavod of their own God that they would be makbid to write down the name of their God using one hand in one fell swoop, and therefore there was no real good reason for him to withhold from teaching this method to other people. So Ala Rishonim Namar, says the Gemara, on the first ones it is said, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. So again, the Pasha way to understand this is Ala Rishonim Namar, that on the people mentioned in the prior Mishnah, although as we saw, because we believe that everybody mentioned in this Mishnah except for Ben Kamtzer had a valid reason for keeping their talent a secret, it could be that on the first people mentioned in this Mishnah, we said also Zecher Tzadik Levracha, in addition to those mentioned in the prior Mishnah, Ve'al Ben Kamtzer V'chaveirav. So again, it's unclear what Chaverov means. Does it mean only those who have the same talent as Ben Kamtzer, or does it mean everybody mentioned in the Mishnah? So, Nemar V'Shem Rishaim Yirkov. It says V'Shem Rishaim Yirkov, that the name of Rishaim, that the name of Rishaim should rot. So, my V'Shem Rishaim Yirkov. So, what does it mean, V'Shem Rishaim Yirkov? So, Amar V'Lazar, Rakvivas Tala B'Shmosan, that rust should cover their name, Zlo Maskina B'Shmayu. That because we don't use their names. So if you look in Tosfos here, so Tosfos says because of this, it's well known, one of Rabbi Leibowitz's favorite topics actually, that you don't name after Rishon. So Tosfos, we don't have time to read it inside, but Tosfos says that there are times when somebody is recorded with the name Avshalom, and we go out of our way to say no, it's not Avshalom, it's rather Avishalom. Because Avishalom, because Avshalom was a Rasha, whereas Avishalom is just a nice name. And he does the same thing with regard to Shachna and Shevna, because there was a Shevna who was a Rasha, but then Tosfos says, no, maybe there were actually two people named Shevna. So Tosfos says, so really we don't name after people who are Rishon. Says the Gemara, really? So Maisa Ravina, Maisa Ravina, so Ravina is Sakasha, Maisa Bedoig ben Yosef, there was a Maisa with Doig ben Yosef, Shenichu Aviv ben Katan Limo, that his father left him when he was a young child to his mother, B'chol Yom Haisa Imo Modedoso B'tfachim, every day his mother would measure him in hand breadths, V'nosin Mishkolo Shalzov LeBeis HaMikdash, and would give his weight in gold to the Beis HaMikdash, U'chshagavar Oyev, and when Nebuchadnezzar came to power, Tavchaso, and started besieging Yerushalayim, Tavchaso v'yachloso, that she shechted him and she ate him. So this kid, who she loved so dearly, and she contributed his value to the Beis HaMikdash each and every day, she wound up eating him. V'aleha konin Yirmiyah, and on her, Yirmiyah lamented, Im tochal l'nashim piriyam, olalei tipuchim. So Meshiva Ruach HaKodesh v'ameres, and the Ruach HaKodesh answered, Im yorek b'mikdash Hashem koin v'navi, that the reason that this happened is because there was a koin and a navi killed in the Mikdash Hashem. That's why mothers are forced to slaughter their kids and eat them. So the kasha of the Gemara is, how can you say that V'Shem Rishaim Yirkov, that we don't name after Rishaim? We have this kid whose name was Doeg ben Yosef, and Doeg was a Rasha, yet the kid was named after Doeg. Says the Gemara, yeah, Chazi Mai Solakbe, look what happened to him. This kid was named Doeg. Ultimately, his mother killed him and ate his meat and ate his limbs. So of course, you shouldn't name after a Rasha. Summer of Elazar. Rav Elazar says, Tzadik Me'atzmo V'Rasha Me'chavero. A tzaddik is mentioned singularly, and a Rasha is mentioned among a group of people. How do we see this? Tzaddik Me'atzmo D'chsev Zecher Tzaddik Livracha in Lashon Yachid. V'Rasha Me'chavero, and a Rasha is mentioned in the plural, D'chsev V'Shem Rasha'im Yirkov. Is a lashon rabim. Somerly Ravina Lahumid Rabbanan Davi Mesader Agadata Kameh, who was setting up the Agadata before him. So Mina Had Milsa Dem Rabbanan Zecher Tzadik Lebracha. How do we know this? Which it says Zecher Tzadik Lebracha. Amarle Daksiv Zecher Tzadik Lebracha. What are you asking me? How does it say? How do we know it says Zecher Tzadik Lebracha? It says in Sefer Mishlei Zecher Tzadik Lebracha. Isn't that a good reason? So no. What he means is Midaraisa Minole. How do we know this concept Midaraisa? So we explain that everything that's written in Neviim and Ksuvim has a basis in the Torah. So what's the basis in the Torah for Zecher Tzadik Lebracha? D'chsiv, V'Hashem Amar, HaMechas Ani Avram. Hashem said, can I withhold from Avram? Can I conceal from Avram what I'm going to do to Sodom? Asher Ani Oseh, V'chsiv, Avram Hoya Yil Goy Gadol. As soon as he mentions Avram, he has to mention a bracha to Avram. V'Avram Hoya Yil Goy Gadol V'yatzum. So that's how we know. Zecher Tzadik, when you mention a Tzadik, Levracha. Minaha Milsa Diyamar Rabbanan Shem Rishaim Yirkov. How do we know that which Achamim say V'Shem Rishaim Yirkov? Samarlei, Dachsiv V'Shem Rishaim Yirkov. It says in Sefer Mishlei V'Shem Rishaim Yirkov. So the Mefarshim asks, how come he didn't understand what he was asking? He already went through this when he asked about Zecher Tzadik Levracha. But Midaraisa Minala, and how do we know this Midaraisa? Dachsiv Vayel al Sodom, that Lot went and encamped on Sodom. V'chsev anshei Sodom roim v'chatoim la'Hashem mi'od. That the anshei Sodom were roim v'chatoim la'Hashem mi'od. So we'll stop over here. We'll continue with the discussion tomorrow. Don't worry, towards the end of the week, the block get very, very short, so we will make up our lost ground, God willing.